Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 173 of the Mom Hour. Hey, Sarah, did you notice that I don't have a problem saying 173 anymore?
I know. I wonder at what point that happened after the 60s.
So if you guys haven't been listening that long, when we switched over to into the 100s,
yeah,
I had a really hard time saying 123. I would be like 123. And it was always like really formal sounding. And there was lots of outtakes. So this is not going to be an outtake. It's rolling off the tongue.
173.
I just want everyone to acknowledge how well I'm doing.
We're pros.
We are pros. So I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. And today we are talking about something, like, I feel like we have talked about this personally a lot, Sarah, but not a lot, not maybe at all on the podcast.
Yeah. No, it's maybe come up as a passing comment, but this is maybe one of my favorite topics yet.
Okay. So what we're talking about is the life-changing magic of arbitrary rules. And I think all parents have them. I've had them. Sarah, you have a ton of them. But basically, what does this mean? It means a rule that really doesn't really relate to anything. It's like a totally mom or dad made up rule.
Yes.
That nobody gave us and said, you should do this. And it's probably not all that important in the grand scheme of
things. It's not the kind of rules that are like saving lives every day or like, you know, fundamentally like establishing your family philosophy. It's like the stuff that makes the day go easier, because it's always easier if you can say, because it's a rule, just because,
exactly.
Because I said so. And we have so many great ones between mine and yours, but also we got some amazing, amazing suggestions from social media and our listeners that I just can't wait to share with everybody.
Yeah. Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees, because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing one packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest, I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have 2 pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather. But please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, we kind of started to go down this road, but let's define what we're talking about by arbitrary rules. And I'm picturing our listeners who have like babies and maybe very young toddlers, and you guys don't even know what's ahead, which is, yeah, I think why some of you listen to this show. But arbitrary rules to me are like, they're not about like health and safety and like fundamentally important things. So like, wash your hands before dinner, or like, no iPads in the bedroom. Those are not really arbitrary rules. And you'll see when we get into the listener suggestions, you know what we're talking. If you know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. They're more things. What do you think, Megan, that like make our lives easier, right?
There are more things that would like on the outside might sound a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're all about the mom or the dad's prerogative.
Yes.
It's like at my discretion, at my pleasure. It's like you're the king or the queen of your you know, you're like the capricious king or queen, and you're just like telling your subjects what you want them to do. But it's not really capricious because it serves a purpose, and you can do it with a lot of humor, I think, too. And that's, I think, the most fun thing about an arbitrary rule is that they can be really funny.
They can be funny.
And it can be kind of like everyone's in on the joke. Like everyone knows it's kind of ridiculous sometimes. But but like it's something that just like, hey, if you don't ever want to hear the word, you know, can I after 7 o'clock at night, say, you can say that because you're just done because it's 7 o'clock and you're done. Like that's the arbitrariness. It wouldn't apply to any other family because in another family that might not bother that mom, or she might not be done at seven, but you are. And so you're going to set this rule.
Right. I love this because I think arbitrary rules can also be about really fun things. Like I have a couple examples that are more about like when my kids get to do something. So it can stave off whining, or like, when can we go to blah, 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 or one of those things. It can also, I think, like a big use of arbitrary rules has to do with sibling bickering or little whiny things that like, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need some kind of a family rule that solves this problem. And I know you're going to talk about this later, Megan, but often these are things we grow out of. These are like, arbitrary rules are great for, I would say, ages like 3 to 10. Like this is like,
I used to have a ton of them, and honestly, we don't anymore just because they're not as necessary. But like, I can remember some of the ones we used to have, and I loved reading the ones from listeners because it reminded me so much of so many of the ones that I used to have when my kids were smaller.
Well, the fun thing is you get to make them up, but we're going to give you some suggestions. You can make them up on the spot. Like Megan, I feel like that's more your style. Like the next person who says this is like takes out the garbage or whatever. But also I think when you're a brand new mom, sometimes we're waiting for the instruction manual a little bit, like waiting for somebody else to tell us what the rules are. And that's why I think this is such a fun topic and why I just get such a kick out of reading the ones that people come up with, because you could just tell when they're born out of spontaneity and like that light bulb moment. And they're so smart. So I don't know.
They really are.
I really love this. Okay. So I just kind of wrote down a few like categories that I think arbitrary rules work really well for. And then we'll get into some specifics in a minute. But one is independence milestones. And several of the examples we're going to get have to do with this. And so that would be something like, when you turn 5, you start clearing your plate after dinner or something, some kind of like when you are big enough, when you are this big, you start doing this, or you've outgrown this, like you no longer do this. And the only thing I was going to say about that is there's kind of a tricky category there, which is like giving up the pacifier or potty training, that I probably wouldn't, like with my experience and my kids, I probably wouldn't set an arbitrary age because
And also the beauty of an arbitrary rule is it should never create pressure for mom. So even if the independence milestone is something that you're not 100% sure your kid's going to be ready for. And you don't necessarily then want to have to enforce it. Like, think carefully.
Right. Yes.
But you can always change an arbitrary rule. Yeah. I mean, it is arbitrary after all. But like, if it's going to be something that's going to stress or, you know, stress your kid out a lot or traumatize them a lot, that's one thing. But it's also another thing if it's going to just create more work for you. So
right.
It is one of the, anytime it's something that they have to give up or start doing, like, I'm really careful about those. Yes. If it's like a, this is now our house rule. Oof, do I really mean it?
Yes. And I think it's for the little superficial things, both yes. the, you know, the adding a responsibility or the removing of maybe something that they're kind of ready to outgrow. I think it's like the smaller and the more superficial. But the reason I like it is instead of saying like, oh, well, I think it's about time you learned this or you started right. doing this, like arbitrary rules make it be like, oh, in our house, when you turn 5, yeah. you start clearing your plate or whatever it is. But yeah, I wanted to give that caveat that like the big ticket things like giving up a lovey or, you know, potty training, that's those tend to not work arbitrarily because it's like such a thing both sides have to be ready for.
Right.
Okay, this is a big one. I use arbitrary rules all the time for settling like minor sibling bickering.
And oh, yeah. That's yeah. one of the best uses. Yes.
And those are ones where it has helped me to have a few arbitrary rules that are kind of known throughout the house so that way you as a mom don't have to be the arbiter. You don't have to be like the judge in each sibling kerfuffle because there is some kind of, it could be totally arbitrary and I'll get into what ours are, but there's some governing law that says like who gets to pick the movie if they're fighting. So I think that's a big one. I don't know. I just feel like, if you have to be the decider of everything and the person who says yes or no to everything, it's exhausting, right?
It is exhausting, yeah.
Especially when your kids are little. So these...
Yeah. And the great thing, like you've said, about having a rule, even if the rule really doesn't logically make a lot of sense on the surface, is that the rule is in charge. Like the rule does the dirty work.
Yes, exactly.
And not the parent. Exactly. And so it takes that pressure off.
Exactly. I was thinking when we were prepping for this, I was thinking about like kindergarten, first, second grade classrooms. Like if you've mm-hmm. ever been in them or even preschool classrooms, like they are full. They're happy places, very nurturing of children, but they are full of rituals, routines and yes. rules to keep the peace. Right. Like
right.
we put our lunches in this bin at this time. And that's because, hello, these angel teachers have 30 kids and we have yeah. 3 or 4 or 5. But I think there's some of the same, like kids look for that structure and they don't really mind. Like if you just say, well, this is the way it is in our family. I don't know. I feel like the more often you say that, the more you don't have to be making split second decisions on every little thing under the sun.
Yeah.
A couple of things I made a note of, like, that I think are more like the fun side of this and not just being the enforcer is I have a couple that sort of let kids know when we get to do certain fun things. And this kind of speaks to we did a couple of episodes on rituals and traditions and routines, and it's kind of some overlap there. But I also think it's like you've talked a lot about family culture, Megan, and like
yeah.
family identity. And these are things your kids will remember forever. In fact, one of my arbitrary rules about board games came from when I was growing up. So these are, if you don't have to just think of it as like controlling and rule of law, it's also kind of giving your kids this sense of family identity. Like in our family, this is what we do. And I love that. And I know you've thought a lot about that over the years too, Megan.
Yeah. And the one I'm sitting here like thinking about some of the silly family rules that we've had. One was literally in our family, we do not whip and nay nay.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Because, you know, Sarah, you've been at dancing events with me, right?
Yes.
You know how I feel. I have a very, very strong, what is the word that you
aversion?
Would even say? Aversion. Thank you. I was going to say revulsion. That sounds a little overly dramatic, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I have an aversion to like planned dances, like the wobble.
The electric slide.
At least that one's kind of old and like old people do it at weddings and stuff. So it's
a
little
Macarena.
Bit. Yeah, I won't do them.
Yeah,
I find them embarrassing. Like I find them really embarrassing. And there's something about the rebel in me that like
yes.
wants to dance to a song. And the wobble always gets me because I really like that song.
Wait,
and every time it comes
on,
we need a wobble, baby, wobble. Back it up. Okay. Now back it up. So it's Yeah, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble. You've heard it a million times, okay. But you probably just blank it out. But it's a good song to dance to. And it's da-da, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's got this great kind of hook.
Yeah.
And I start to dance, and then I'm always starting to get excited because I think I'm going to like really enjoy dancing to the song. And then I look around me and like literally everybody on the dance floor is doing the wobble and I don't want to. And then I walk off the dance floor. So,
oh my gosh,
you've seen so me funny. Do this.
Yes, yes.
And then I always come over to you and loudly complain.
Yes.
About how I hate dances like that. Okay. There's probably something really wrong with me that I can't participate in like, and I don't care that other people are doing it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't bother me that other people are participating. But I'm bothered that I can't dance to a song the way I want to dance to it because everybody else is dancing to it. So then I kind of stand on the sidelines and do my own thing. And every now and then I'll end up kind of getting like roped in and I'll end up on the dance floor. And I try to pretend like I know the wobble, which I really don't, but it's not that hard to back it up. So anyway, just saying, this is all like a much larger story than it needs to be. But when the whip and nay nay. So anytime there's like a new dance craze, I immediately reject it.
Right.
I don't want any part of it. And I found the whip and nene to be particularly annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember why exactly. It's just, I didn't like the song. I didn't like the movement people were doing. Oh, the other one was the, it was a few years ago. And it was like involved a hat.
Oh, I don't know.
And like
that.
You had to get really low and like kind of move the hat around. Oh, that one might pop into my head. That was actually kind of fun to watch. But like, I just wouldn't do it. So I remember when the kids started doing the whip and nay nay, and that like really disturbed me on
yeah,
some.
I have to say that was the first one that my kids, I don't think they really knew how to do it, but I would hear them say it as if they did. Like the vernacular was like on their radar, and that was probably the first popular dance that was. And I was like, how do you know that?
Right. And something about it, like I had this visceral disturbed reaction to my kids wanting to whip and nay nay. So we just said no.
That's really
funny. In this family, we do not whip and nay nay. And it's kind of funny because we weren't snobby about it. Like
right.
We weren't like anybody who whips and nays right. is dumb or anything like that. It was more like this is something we choose not to do.
That is
we
awesome.
We just choose not to do this. Now, I will say proudly that I have never bent that rule for myself. I have never whipped. I have never nay-nayed. I don't even think I could if you asked me to. I wouldn't be able to do
Are
it.
Are they allowed to dab?
Okay, that's where I was getting. That's okay. Where I was going with this next one. So for a while, John had a very strong anti-dab philosophy, and I was sort of dab neutral. At first, I was like, I kind of rejected it because it's popular and
yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But then Owen is so funny when he dabs, and he started dabbing just as a response to like literally anything.
Yeah, well,
just
my kids will dab
us.
In the middle of a sentence, like yes. like an emphasis.
Yes. Yes. And so I changed my mind on dabbing. And then so independently of me, because we're not living in the same household anymore, John also changed his mind about dabbing because the kids are so funny when they do it. Like we stopped caring because it was started to be used as almost this like funny punctuation on a
right.
sentence.
Right.
You know, and like Owen got and Will both got really funny. William would just make his really super dry
right.
and slow and just like slowly dab.
Oh, my gosh.
Dramatic. And barely even like nod his head. And then Owen would like drop all the way to the ground. Like he would dab and bend at the same time, like squat
oh my
and
gosh.
Go all the way down. And it was just so funny that I appreciated the creativity and I allowed dabbing. So in this house, in this family, we dab.
Yeah. In my house, we dab too. But that's like such a perfect example of not only the arbitrariness, but also what I was saying about like, your kids will remember that. Like,
right.
This is about like, forming family identity in the silliest yeah. ways. And then that, I think that adds up to the not so silly ways.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm really excited to get to some of these. I think I'm going to tease a couple of favorites before
okay.
we take a sponsor break. And then we're going to get into a lot more specific. So the very first one, because it's so simple and I think applies to a lot of our listeners, and it comes from my friend Stacy, who doesn't know how to listen to a podcast and isn't on social media. So I can never give her credit for anything. But we, in my play group, we used to have a saying that when in doubt, let Stacy figure it out. She was just like one of those really on top of it moms. She went on to have four kids. She was the only one of our group to have four kids. And she made a rule in her house that when you turn four, you stop getting to choose the color of your cups, plates, and forks. And I didn't find this out until I had already navigated, I don't know, years. I had lost many, many, much time in my life to mediating mm-hmm. fights over the fishy cup. I've talked about the fishy cup, but also just the colors. Like I want the red plate
We only have one red plate. And so that to me is like kind of the ultimate genius. It's not like what we talked about where like, it's not a hard one to enforce. It's a really easy one to enforce. And it still lets little kids be little kids. And then you sort of graduate. We say that in my family a lot. Like, you've graduated to this level. Like, you've moved on to the next level and you no longer get to choose the color of your forks, plates, and cups. So that is one that moms out there, if you have like a 1 and a 3-year-old, a 2 and a 4-year-old, this is one I would, if I could go back in time, I would absolutely instate it immediately.
Yeah.
I just think it's genius.
That is pretty genius. And it really heads off at the pass a lot of that bickering and decision making.
Yeah.
Because the decision is made for the kid. And isn't it funny how they just accept the rules?
They totally accept the rules. That's why it's so great. Like, congratulations, you're 4. You will now get whatever plate I give you. I don't know. They just do. There's enough cool things about being 4. And there's, if you have a bunch of kids, especially, and she had 4 kids, it's kind of come to accept, and I'm sure this was the case with your kids too, Megan, when everybody was young, you come to accept that the big kids get certain privileges, but they also have more responsibilities. And there's, you can't treat everybody the same when you have an age spread of kids. So that's why I think I love the arbitrariness, is it's just like, okay, now you're in this group of kids, the ones who don't get to choose
right, the
princess plate anymore. Right. You had your 4 years of that. Now you don't. Anyway, that's genius. And then I'll tease one more from my house. And that's just kind of a funny one. And this is one of the fun ones where it's more about what you get. So we live in Southern California where it's, 75 to 85 degrees most of the time, most of the year. So in my house, if the temperature reading outside is over 100, everyone gets lemonade, no questions asked. And my kids don't drink, like, we don't drink juice and lemonade just regularly. So that's kind of a treat. And so when it's really hot, they will like, what's the temperature outside? And then if it's under, don't laugh at me, Michigander, but if it's under 45, it's automatic hot chocolate. Cause that only happens like a few times.
So I will say 45 degrees is definitely hot chocolate weather, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's not a rule, but it's more of like a something that we have in my house. Once it's, I would say here, it's more like once it's under 35 or, 40 to 35, we just have hot chocolate every day.
Oh, I love
that. It's like probably a 2 to 3 month period where we have hot chocolate, like pretty much every day. And the kids know we always have it. And they'll even kind of get upset if it's like not, if they run out.
Right.
They're like, Mom, didn't you get more hot chocolate
yet?
Like it's owed. It's like part of their birthright.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a temperature thing.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So you could adjust temperatures, but I think that was a fun one for us. And I think that was one that came spontaneously. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's 100 degrees today. That's like very rare for
right.
her. Guess what, guys? It's automatically lemonade. Like that. It's, I don't even have a choice over it. I have to give you lemonade because it's 100 degrees. So they get a kick out of that.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the rule.
Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by 2 dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Okay, should we get back to arbitrary rules?
Let's do it.
I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you wanted to talk about how this evolved for you over time. And how yours were more things that you tended to come up with on the fly, and then, you know, kids outgrew as necessary.
Well, I don't even remember a lot of them. I used to have so many when my kids were little, because that's like when they're irrational, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't explain to them why. It's not like now when I could say to my 14-year-old, like, hey, can you just do this because I asked you to?
Right.
Or, you know, can we all just be reasonable here? I remember when that saying things like that started working with my kids, and it was around like 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
Like you could say like, hey, I really just need you to just go along with me here and just don't give me a hard time.
Yep.
I
think that 8, 9, 10 is exactly right. That's the age of my older two. And it's like it's just a shift has happened.
Yeah. Well, they can kind of take themselves out of themselves and they can put themselves in your shoes for a minute and just realize that like, they have the power to make your life a little easier. And when they're little, they don't care about that.
They just
are like little ego, like little balls of ego. So one that pops into mind that I still sometimes do, and I tend to create these on the fly now, but it drives me nuts when my kids say mom, mom, mom. I'm sure everyone can relate to this. It really drives me nuts when they say mom more than one time in a row.
Uh-huh.
So if it's mom, mom, before I've even had a chance to like, say a word or breathe. I haven't even had a chance to breathe yet. So I will make up like on the fly, especially when they're all doing this thing. And this was starting to happen at the end of the summer when I think I told you I wanted to flush them all down the toilet.
Yes.
Because they were all just like buzzing around me. They had all this weird energy.
Yes.
And usually they kind of go do their thing and then they come in and we all hang out and then they kind of go do their thing. But it was like 3 or 4 solid days where wherever I was, they were all just like circling like buzzards.
Yes.
And it was a lot of mom, mom, mom. And part of it was they were getting all ramped up for the school year. So they had suddenly all these things to think about, like, where's my bus going to be? Do I have my schedule yet? When are we going to go back to school shopping? All this stuff. But it was like coming at me like a barrage of just input that I couldn't handle. So I did give them like, the next kid that says mom has to do my bidding all night. The next kid that says mom has to like, I don't even remember, like go clean up the dog poop. Like I was just throwing out things like that. Or like, I need everyone to clear this room and be gone for 1 hour and 5 minutes.
I love
which
it.
Is extremely arbitrary.
Totally
as well,
arbitrary.
But it was more than an hour and it felt, you know, I didn't want them gone all night. I just didn't want them around me for an hour or more.
Right.
So yeah, like those tend to kind of come up. Those tend to kind of come up still on the fly, but like I really don't have a lot of the same kinds that I had when my kids were littler.
Well, I think that's actually refreshing to hear because we're kind of talking about this very specific. You can't do arbitrary rules with like an 18-month-old,
right?
Or even a 2, 2.5-year-old, and that's why I arbitrarily declared like 3 to 10 being like the prime. And then if you have like 3 kids between that age, like I do, then it's really like this is your arsenal. So we're going to give you some examples. But I do think it's really helpful to hear that context that it's kind of something you outgrow. But what you never outgrow is like the ability to just declare something to be so. And I think since we started this podcast, we've always said like you get to decide.
You are the boss.
You and your partner, you and your family system. But like you get to decide what the rules are for your family. OK, I'm going to throw out a couple more of mine and then I know we're going to cherry pick some great listener suggestions. So this one I alluded to comes from my growing up. And that is that when we play any kind of game, board game, card game, whatever, the winner cleans up. And that is very arbitrary, although it's rooted in some sense, because if you've won the game, you're probably in the best mood. And the grumpy loser doesn't have to clean up. So there's like a little bit of like, well, you lost, but at least you don't have to clean up. And that came from my growing up and it works really well. And I will say like, if it's a big cleanup job, some like huge Monopoly game, often other people will still pitch in. And it's like, it's still like a family effort, but there's something about like winner cleans up is just puts the onus on that person. And it's just perfect. And that came from my growing up. But you had a board game rule that I have since adopted. And I don't even know if you remembered talking about this in our board game episode.
I probably don't. But I was just thinking about how genius it is to have any kinds of rules around board games, because it makes it so much more manageable.
Yeah. And we did that whole episode and you were like a treasure trove, because think of like the age spread of your five kids.
Yes.
Managing playing board games is so difficult. So the one I remember, and you probably have others, but the one I remember you saying was that when there's a youngest who needs to be on a team because they can't read or they can't play, they get to choose.
Oh, they get to pick. That's
their
right.
buddy. And I thought that was so genius, because we have a lot of issues with the youngest in our house feeling disenfranchised because she can't read yet. So
and no one wants the littlest.
No one wants the littlest. And so it gives the power. It's not like, and often if I'm trying to be generous and I'll say, well, come be my teammate. Of course she doesn't want that. She's already exactly. mad that she's too little. So it puts the choice on them, and the person they choose doesn't get they don't have a say. I loved that one.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But like as soon as you started saying, because now my kids have all outgrown that.
Right.
But as soon as you started saying that, I was like, oh, I remember when that was like so, oh my gosh, with Owen.
Yeah.
It was so, and the funny thing about Owen was that he's actually a fantastic board game player. He's really strategic. And even when he was a little kid, he wasn't bad, but sometimes there would just be, it would like the rules would just be a little too above him or he would dig deep on a strategy that made like not a whole lot of sense and stubbornly ride it out to the end and then lose. He would get trounced so badly. So it worked really well for him to choose. And he was really good at choosing his teammate too.
Yeah.
Because he would actually be a really valuable partner.
Yeah, he just wasn't quite ready. Yeah.
He wasn't quite ready to run the show yet. I have to ask you, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
And have you ever had an arbitrary rule that stuck, but then you were able to kind of sometimes, and I'll give you my example in a second, that you were sometimes able to then reverse and feel like a total like hero mom?
Oh, so, I know what you mean. I can't think of something, but when you get to break your own rules, you look awesome.
So here's the funny one for us. Okay, so my kids were never allowed. My oldest kids were not allowed to have like soda pop ever until they were 8, 9, 10. And then it was only at parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, like with most things, some of those rules have relaxed over the years. They still don't just get to have, we don't have soda in the house. It's not something that they get to have whenever. But typically when we go out to a restaurant, they have the choice, unless it's been like one of those bender situations where we've been like partying all weekend, then I'm starting to pull back like, no, you can only have milk or water. Yeah. But typically they're allowed to get a root beer or something, but I've always had this weird hang up about Mountain Dew,
which funny because you had a Mountain Dew addiction.
I had a serious Mountain Dew addiction in my 20s. And I think for me, Mountain Dew just feels like if you piled up all the different sodas from least offensive to most, and least offensive would probably be like ginger ale, up to the most. And like for me, Mountain Dew just was top of the heap. First of all, it's on all these weird colors now. Yeah. The caffeine, I'm not even sure if it's got more caffeine than Coke. Like, I don't think Mountain Dew could really be that much worse than Coke if we're talking about a tip, like an every now and then drink. But I had like a knee jerk no.
Yeah.
And
that's how I feel about slushies right now. Like, and I might outgrow that, but slushies, it's like, oh God, have anything. Like, have a
Gatorade, have anything
have
with
a
that.
Sprite. Like,
yes. But there was something about the color and the caffeine and the sugar content and my previous issues with Mountain Dew. So it was just the rule. You didn't even ask.
Right.
And they would try to sometimes like slide Mellow Yellow past me like I'm a dum-dum, and I'm like, you guys, Mellow Yellow is exactly the same as Mountain Dew. Nice try. Because you'd go to a party where there's a whole bunch of 2 liters and I'd see one of them reaching for the Mellow Yellow. I'm like, nah. Just because it's like the poor cousin doesn't mean you get to have it. So anyway, that was like the family rule forever. And now that Will's like 14, I mean, I don't really care if he has Mountain Dew. Like, he'll have it at a party and I know he doesn't ask me. But anytime my kids want to have Mountain Dew, they'll like super timidly ask me,
right?
And it's hilarious because Owen will be like, do you think today that I could maybe get some Mountain Dew? And you know, still 9 out of 10 times I'll be like, you know, let's not do that today. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
But like 1 out of 10 times I'll say, sure. And it's his like face lights up. He's so excited. So like, you have so much power to make
you
them happy. And that makes me happy.
I love it. Yeah. The example I thought of while you were talking, I've talked in our routines episode, I've talked about how we do like a coffee shop after school on the way home, stop at Starbucks once a week. And that it's all tied in. That's more of like a ritual, I would say, but it's the same kind of thing. That way they don't whine about when can we go to Starbucks, because we just do it once a week and usually the same day of the week. Yeah. But when we go, they're not getting cookies and brownies. And so the general rule is, it's not like they're getting super healthy stuff, but they'll get like a bagel and cream cheese or a blueberry muffin, right, but not a cake pop or a brownie. And that has been established. And so the example I thought of is like once every 10 times, we'll walk in and be like, you guys can get treats today. Let's get a treat. Yeah. And so then it's like, mind blown.
Same thing with fast food. We don't do fast food a lot, but like our rule has always been you pick one item, because this is not dinner. This is like a treat.
Yes.
And usually off the value menu. So like you're going to get, you know, like the small chicken sandwich or a junior burger,
you're not
or
gonna
a
get
four piece nugget
meal. Yeah.
Right. And every now and then I'll just relax that and be like, you know, you guys, today you can get a meal. And it's like everyone is like, oh, like, I know. The world has opened up to them. They're so excited.
I think the theme here is having established rules, whether they're serious or frivolous, they enable you to say no less and to say yes more. I think that's what we're going for here.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I love it.
Should I jump into some listener ones or do you still have more?
No, I mean, I'll cherry pick from mine, but why don't you highlight some listener ones that you loved?
Okay. So I love this one from Genevieve, because as a fellow, like
this was
mom
so
who hates the swings, and we had an episode about that. That was the inspiration for We Hate Fun. And I wrote a blog post once called From the Mom Who Hates the Swings. Yes. And my thing was like, the swings always represented to me, I never minded taking my kids to the playground, but the swings represented like torture to me and like bondage. Like I'm stuck here pushing you over and over. It's repetitive. It's boring. I can't talk to the mom on the bench. Like, why do you need me to do this? So I love Genevieve's rule. And it is, my arbitrary rule is I would only push you on the swings for the last 5 minutes we're at the playground. Once we swing, we go home. I love that because it puts the onus on the kid to decide when
it's
the swinging
so
happens.
Genius. And it gets you away from the park, which is always such a hard thing.
Yeah.
That is seriously genius. And it reminded me actually of an arbitrary rule I totally forgot that I have, which it does not have to do with swings, but it has its same thing where it ties it to the end. And that is, when we're baking, you can lick a spoon or a spatula or a bowl if there is a bowl to lick, but then you're done. You don't get to lick a spatula and then continue helping with the baking. So like, we'll get midway through something, and if you want to lick a spatula, I will give you the spatula. You go away, like go sit at the table. And then you're done. That's you're done baking. And that has really worked for us too, because there's no fingers in the bowl in the middle of the making. It happens at the end. Yeah. And if you're ready to be done, I'll finish the recipe, but you're not coming back with that face and those fingers.
I love that. And I just love that this really gives the kid the control over when they leave and also when the swinging happens. And then mom, you know, still kind of pitches in for a bit. And I love that. All right, here's another one.
Okay.
And this reminds, I don't have this particular rule, but this reminds me of a lot of things I've established over the years. And Kimberly says, hot school lunch is only at mom's discretion. If you ask, it's an automatic no. I have had so many things, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I've had so many things over the years that it's, if you ask, it's an automatic no, because those are the things that your kids bug you about all the time.
Yes.
And you don't want to have to keep saying, like, you don't have to think about it all the time. And for me, those have been like certain video games. Those have been things like, you know, if I buy a box of ice cream sandwiches and put them in the fridge and they're for a specific time, if you ask, it's an automatic no.
Yeah.
Because those, I have an idea in mind for those. So I've had definitely those over the years.
I think I need to use that more. Allegra is my kid who will, she's so respectful and so polite, but she's an asker. So she will, and she's the oldest, so she kind of knows the cracks in the system.
Right.
So she will innocently ask, and she knows she's pushing it. It's like almost a guaranteed no, but it irritates me that she even asks.
Yes.
So I think I need to do that more. Like, if you ask, it's an automatic no. If I just randomly decide, then
you can have it.
Congratulations.
Well, and especially food becomes really tricky with multiple kids, because they're like, again, it's like the buzzard thing. Once one finds out that one got it, everyone's like clamoring around. So you have to find a place to nip that in the bud so that they're not constantly just circling around you asking for stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. So that really can be helpful.
Can I jump in and do a listener one? You didn't highlight this one, but I want to throw it out there because it's a great one. It's so simple. And it also has to do with picking your cups and plates, incidentally. So it's RN Cass is the Instagram handle. I don't know her first name. It wasn't there. But whoever sets the table gets to pick everything, the placemats, the plates, utensils. So if you want a choice, if you have an opinion about the color of your fork or the Chinese spoon or the fishy cup, you set the table. That's just genius to me.
Yeah, I love that.
And the table gets set.
And the table gets set because the kid is doing all of it.
Yes.
The one kid.
And
is
I don't
doing
care if
it.
There's mismatched everything. Right. Like if someone sets the table. Anyway, okay, you can keep
okay.
going with
this. I've got one more that I'm going to do. This comes from Carly, and it's actually about her 3-year-old niece. She says it's a little bit bossy. She said, I once told her after a taxing day with many hot, exhausted children, did you know about the 7 o'clock rule? There is no bossing after 7 o'clock.
That is the definition of arbitrary.
Works like a charm. I love it because it's like setting. It's not mean. It's not saying like you're bossy and annoying me. It's right. like, hey, did you know about this rule that I just made up on the spot? But the kid doesn't know.
Right. I
love
it.
And I bet the kid was probably like, wow, okay.
And a 3-year-old is kind of that perfect. Like they're pretty aware of rules by that point, but they're not smart enough to like
right, exactly.
see through that. So that is perfect. Can I shout out a couple of listeners?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So there's some genius ones. Jenna says you don't get to brush your teeth without supervision until you're able to tie your shoes properly. I don't know why that
I
made
love
me laugh.
That.
Because they're unrelated, but they do sort of happen around the same age, well, 6, 7, 8. Like,
and it incentivizes the kid who doesn't care about learning to tie their shoes to learn how to tie their shoes.
Yes.
I love tying shoes to something else. That's brilliant.
Exactly. Gigi Apple is the Instagram handle. And she says, we have arbitrary birthday gains. And I was kind of alluding to this earlier, like milestones. On your 6th birthday, you get a pair of shoes with laces and are taught how to tie them, which I think that's kind of like, it's kind of special, like rite of passage-y.
Right.
And then on your 10th birthday, you're allowed to have soda. Makes the birthday special, but also cuts down on the begging of when kids earn the privilege for certain things. So this kind of circles all the way back to what we were talking about. It's the kind of thing you have to be careful with because, you know, there are certain, I think the examples she gave are great, but there are other things that like, you know, not every 11-year-old is ready for an iPhone. So those like, you might not want to choose like an age for some of those things or staying home alone. You might not want to choose an age for that. But some things, the smaller, more superficial things, I think that's really fun. It's like a rite of passage. It's like, okay, you've turned this age. And then if you have a bunch of younger siblings, it cuts down on that, the begging, because you're like, oh, that happens, you know, when you're 7 or when you're 10 or when you're 15. Yeah. So I like that one.
Yeah. Love it.
This was a good one from Celeste, because we talked about board games. She says when playing board games, whoever loses gets to go first for the next game. Simple.
That's nice. Yeah. Very simple, but gives the loser something.
Yeah. Heather said, this one is perhaps very obvious, but whoever gets up first makes the coffee. It doesn't matter who you are or if you will even drink it. I love that.
That's funny.
Okay. And then I'm just going to look if I had any more from mine. Well, okay. I have 2 more from my life. So this came from my sister-in-law, who has a almost 4-year-old and a new baby. And I'm sure, listeners, you can relate to a toddler or preschooler who has a strong mommy or daddy or grandma or whatever preference for who does the bedtime routine. And it can be kind of exhausting if that kid really does get to decide who's going to put them to bed, who's going to tuck them in. We absolutely went through that. And I didn't think of this, but in their family, it alternates. It's a mommy night or it's a daddy night, and their schedule allows for that. But she is a strong-willed little preschooler, my niece, and she did not push back. I knew she wanted mommy every single night because mommy just had a new baby and we were on vacation with them, but she did not push back. So I would highly, if bedtime is kind of a struggle, but think about arbitrary rules that might just free up bedtime drama a little bit. And that I thought was a good one. So just take turns. And then I'll just mention, I've talked about this, I think, on our rituals and routine episodes, but we have what's called Tuesday in my family, and it just rotates. It's literally just a rolling, like, Allegra, read Violet, Allegra, read Violet. It's their responsibility to know whose Tuesday it is. And it just goes on forever. I don't keep track of who it is. It's not written down anywhere. They have to figure it out. And it's used to settle things like who gets to sit in the favorite chair, who gets to push the elevator button. If it's a movie night, if it's a weekend, who gets to choose the movie. It's not used to settle like big sibling fights over something where there's like a true aggressor. Like, you don't get to like abuse your siblings because it's your Tuesday, but it's used to sort out those things. And it has worked for quite a while. I didn't invent this. I've heard of other families who use it. But Megan, you also recently talked about how when the kids couldn't agree on something, you just made them decide and you kind of like walk away. And,
yes.
And that's another, I think that works as kids get a little bit older. But I did that recently where I was like, well, you guys figure it out and then we can do it. Otherwise, if you can't come to an agreement, we're just not going to do it.
We're just not going to do it.
Yeah. Right?
And that again, sometimes it's about incentivizing the kids to get their stuff together.
Yes.
And figure it out.
Exactly.
Because you don't really care. Like,
no.
Whatever it is, like,
no.
So skin off my nose if we don't do this. So right. Why am I in charge here?
Yeah. Well, and similar to that, Rachel said, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit works well in my house for a lot of things with my 2 and 5-year-old. We switch off which girl gets to pick bedtime story every night and which parent reads it. So there's no argument. So kind of the same thing. We're now getting into like, there's no negotiating. It just like,
right.
This is the way it is. And I think
yep.
That's kind of at the crux of arbitrary rules.
Arbitrary rules. Exactly.
Okay. Well, I know you guys are going to have more input. So there's a thread going on Instagram and Facebook that is so good with all of these ideas. So you can add to that or shoot us an email at themomhour.com. But we have a couple things to get through before we wrap up. Megan, do you want to make our announcement?
Yes, I am. Okay. So this is something that we have been thinking about doing for, 2 years mm-hmm. now. And that is, I don't know if you guys have heard of Patreon, but it is a way to support the show via a community, basically. And I want to say, like, we are both so excited now that we're able to do this show full time.
Yes.
The Mom Hour and the Life Listened Network is both of our full time gig. We yep. both have kids in school. We both freed up all of our time to do this. And offering 7 to 8 episodes a month and developing new shows across the network really is a full time job. It really takes a lot of time,
yeah.
as so many of you have really graciously acknowledged. I really like that when mm-hmm. people email us and acknowledge like how much time this takes, because it really does. And we love the sponsors we work with, but we don't want to overload the show with too many ads. And we're probably kind of, you know, probably good where we're at now. So we don't want to continue.
Yeah,
that way
we like to be choosy, and we do turn
yeah,
away
exactly.
sponsors because it's
yes.
not a good fit, or we don't right. want to just bombard you with ads. So
yeah, okay. So enter Patreon, which is a way to support content creators through a monthly subscription. You might already know about it because a lot of other podcasters and bloggers and content creators of various types use this. But basically, you sign up to pledge a certain amount every month. The episodes we currently offer, the regular shows on Tuesdays, occasional More Than Moms, and Voices, will stay free. So we're never going to charge for those. So if you just want to continue listening to those, that is totally fine. But a Patreon community is a way for people who want to help support with additional funding and get access to a community of other listeners and special rewards like bonus content and more behind the scene conversations with Sarah and I. That's like a great opportunity for you to do that. Think of it like a tip jar for the podcast that you love.
Yeah.
But you also get some additional benefits as well. We're offering a few levels. We're offering a $2 level, an $8 level, and a $16 level. All three levels will have access to a private Facebook group with other members and Sarah and I, which I think is fantastic because that's going to be a chance for you guys to like talk about this stuff like before and after an episode mm-hmm. and find out where each other live and maybe connect with people in your area. And you'll also get first access to news and events before it's meant, you know, before the things are announced on the show. The higher tiers also get things like custom content. We're doing quarterly audio classes. And then signing up the highest level will get you access to live chats with Sarah and I. There might even be a mug in it for you.
We've wanted to do a mug for so long.
We have wanted to do a mug and other merchandise for so long. And this is kind of forcing us
well,
to
this,
do it.
Well, this timing is really about like we're poised to like let loose a bunch of creative ideas we've had for
yes.
2 and 3 years about this show.
Yeah.
And I think. Yeah, just like you said, Patreon's a way to kind of come closer to the inner circle, get a little more behind the scenes with us, you know, use that few bucks a month to say like, yes, we do like get a ton of value out of the 8 free
yes.
episodes per month. And we want to like encourage you guys along to do more stuff. So there will
stuff.
Be bonus
yeah,
audio.
Yeah, that's what it really allows.
Yeah.
Like it allows us to do more than what we're currently doing. Because we're sort of, you know, this is sort of where we're maxed out. And I think that if we're taking the typical, like, what was it? The, you know, the drives that they do and things. You could think of it
like
as
a pledge drive,
a pledge drive. Like, you know, at the $2 level, it's 25 cents an episode just to support the current episodes. But then you're also going to get
right
other, you know, other benefits.
Right.
So I think it's like a total win-win for everybody involved. And we're going to try to make it really easy for you guys. There is a link you can just go to. It's Patreon. That's Patreon.com/themomhour is
yep.
where it'll live. And you can also just go to the show notes for this episode at themomhour.com, and we'll have a link there. But it's, they make it really easy to sign up. And again, it's like no obligation. You can cancel anytime. But we hope that some of you who are regular listeners and really value what we do will sign up and give it a shot and see what you think.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. The Facebook group in particular, we've held off on just doing that because we want it to be really well done, and we want it to serve the people who,
yes,
I don't know how to say this, who want to hang out with us for the right reasons. There's a million mommy Facebook groups out there that you can find and join. And we really wanted this to be like a very intentional group of our community, and you are our community. Like, you know, we do communicate with you. So I'm really excited to put some love and energy into that Facebook group. And then I'm super excited about the bonus audio content because we have million ideas that sometimes don't fit into the regular weekly shows So it's
something
gonna be
that's gonna be really helpful. And this is gonna be really fun. We're gonna have a chance to do some things that we've been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah.
And with your guys' support, I mean, it's kind of exciting to think about where we could take it.
Definitely. And you just have that little bit level of increased access to us for your ideas, your listener questions, like, you know, it'll be really fun. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, that's patreon.com, patreon.com/themomhour. And we just look forward to seeing you guys there. Those of you who want to do it and come along for the ride. Okay, Megan, I just have to queue it up before we wrap. And so This is our segment where we recommend an episode from the archives that you may have missed if you're a new listener. And I picked, because it is kind of still back to school mode, I picked one from December of 2016. So it's a while ago, called Bedtime Routines at Every Stage. And so we just talked about making the bedtime process easier. And Megan, you talked about how things change when your kids get older.
Yeah.
It's not all, you know, books and lullabies forever, but it does change. And there's still kind of routines and things that go along with it. So I thought that would be a fun one for this time of year, because we're all trying to get our kids to bed earlier.
Exactly.
Which means you got to start earlier, which means you got to think about what, you know, what all needs to happen. I think we probably confessed to not bathing our kids every night in that episode, most likely.
Oh, I'm sure we did, but we've done that many times.
I know, we're out. Okay, guys, this was episode 173. The show notes are always at themomhour.com. We are always hello@themomhour.com. We love hearing from you. And we are all over the social at The Mom Hour. So we will see you guys there, and we will be back in your ears soon. Thanks, Megan. This was fun.
The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%. Megan, you know what I love about our partner, The Essential Calendar? I love the product so much, of course, but I also love that it comes from a small business founded by two moms.
Right, just like us. Listeners, if you're drowning in details right now, like summer camps, travel plans, end of school year mayhem, give yourself the gift of The Essential Calendar, a seasonal, at-a-glance, poster-sized calendar for your wall. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.